Welcome into This Has to Work. I'm Matt Hoddle, and welcome back for another episode of Riveting Entertainment, talking about startups and founders and all things entrepreneurial. Today, I am joined by Nathan Pocus, who is the founder, CEO, chief roaster of Domestique Coffee.
Hey, Matt. Glad to be here.
Thanks for being here, Nathan. I appreciate it. So, for those who don't know, tell them a little bit about what Domestique Coffee is and what you do, where you're located. Just give them the high level.
Yeah. So, Domestique Coffee, we, you know, at our roots, we source coffee, roast it here in Birmingham at our Lakeview facility, and then distribute it across Alabama and to our wholesale partners as well as our cafes.
Yeah, so full disclosure, used to have an office about two doors down from Domestique. I still miss the smell of roasting coffee. It certainly grows on you over time. You guys have built a really interesting company, and you did it in a really crowded space. So I'm always interested when I talk to founders about what was it that made you decide to go into what is arguably a very busy space with a lot of competition. Help me understand, like, why did you do that? What was the point of doing that and getting into such a convoluted market?
Yeah, so you can kind of, when we were thinking about getting started, we were approaching coffee almost in a way that you could see craft beer having been approached in Birmingham a few years prior, where the only options on the market were the major large InBev owned companies, and then you saw that microbreweries kind of pop up and people really starting to focus on the attention to detail and the craft behind the process. And so when we were wanting to get into coffee, we noticed that there was hardly anyone in Birmingham currently doing craft coffee.
Yeah, I don't think I fully appreciated how much I didn't know about coffee, sourcing beans, roasting them. That was quite an education in just a little bit of time that we spent together, where that was, you know, kind of shared with me. And it's something that kind of stuck with me because I'm not the most advanced palate, or don't have the most advanced palate. I don't think I have that for food necessarily. I certainly don't have it for wine. I have no idea what I'm talking about. And for coffee, for years being on the road and sales and everything else, I would basically drink anything that resembled coffee and was hot. Right. So, but your point is well made. And what I started to understand after, you know, purchasing Domestique Coffee and being around you guys and understanding that more is you start to really appreciate it's not just about the coffee product itself, but knowing the background of the story. Talk about some of the things, like the ends of the earth you guys went to actually source some of the beans.
Yeah, so one of our priorities in which we source on is looking at regions that have been at one point in their history a coffee growing location, but may not currently be, you know, in vogue, as you would say, in craft coffee. So that's one reason why we're looking towards Haiti. You know, we're one of the only companies in the country using Haitian coffee at all. The Dominican Republic, Bolivia, just to name a few of the countries that we work in that you don't see really in many specialty shops. And kind of the reason we do that is because we want to express a place through consumption. We want to know, like, who this person is, what this land is, what they're eating, what they're drinking, and in an effort to kind of connect our local communities to the broader global communities.
And so as you've been building this, you know, business and the brand and the distribution and all those things, one of the conversations that you and I have had just in passing has been around adoption. And I feel like the way that you went about this, from how you sourced it to where you decided to roast to how, you know, who you employed, you know, and so on and so forth, was very intentional. It wasn't an accident that you ended up in Lakeview. It wasn't an accident that you sourced from who you sourced from. And one of the things that we always talk about in all startups is the importance of having support from kind of those first customers. So can you talk a little bit about, like, how did you find those first customers and what did that mean to you guys as a company?
Yeah, so, you know, the name Domestique, it's a cycling term. It's the person in the pro cycling in the Peloton who is kind of giving up their own effort for the greater good of the team, or for the team leader, that is. And so when we look to that idea, we wanted to embody that spirit. And so as cyclists ourselves, we kind of had that built-in friendship base, user base that wanted to support us as people who were advocates for cycling first, and then also advocates for quality, because you have people in that kind of our core demographic of customers that are very intentional in what they purchase. And if we could explain the reason why they should be purchasing this coffee, why it's better, what we're doing different, the sale wasn't really that hard.
We get asked all the time, you know, from various people, like, how can we help? How can we get involved in these, you know, in these entrepreneurs' businesses? How can we be helpful in all those things? And I think that there's a large degree, I mean, there's a large variety of ways that people can do that. But I think sometimes people don't realize it can be as simple as purchase the product.
Right.
Right. Support that early effort. I think it's really easy to say no to a new business. There's not a track record there. There's not, you know, a long series of case studies. They don't necessarily know all the ins and outs of it. You know, there's a risk involved in doing that. So it's very easy to say no to a new company. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't allow you in your own, you know, purchasing habits as an individual or as a company or whatever, kind of show you have an innovative streak of your own. And if you're not willing to take risks on new companies, then nothing new happens, right? Then right. People just say, okay, well, we're going to go back to the same things over and over again. Nothing really changes. And people, you know, pay attention to that.
Right.
You know, one of the greatest, I think, things that can happen, and people don't necessarily always think of it this way, but like if you had an imitator that came out, right, after you guys that started doing these things, well, it's like, hey, great, I don't really want the competition. It is a form of validation, and it's a form of flattery to go, hey, if they hadn't been successful doing this and I hadn't gone into places like I go into like Zaza, for example, and had Domestique coffee and really experienced like this is legitimately better coffee, they can do it, I can do something like this. How important do you think that is? And have you seen people or talked to people that have come to you and said, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, and it's kind of inspired me to do my own thing?
Yeah, we've definitely had a very good support from the community and people saying that they really appreciate what we're doing. And we have seen, you know, competitors pop up kind of in the same space since we've come about. You know, I think Domestique might be in the position that Good People was about 6 or 7 years ago, being that they were kind of like the leader in craft beer, and then you saw like the craft beer scene kind of explode in Birmingham, which, I mean, the more we're talking about craft coffee, the better. It only helps us in keeping our marketing costs low to spread the word of what craft coffee is, and then allowing people to really compare, you know, apples to apples when we are talking craft, and then see like, okay, even if they are in the same space, these guys have taken a different approach across the entire process spectrum, and that and all those efficiencies and quality enhancements add up to make a measurable difference at the end level for our end user.
And you guys have taken some risks in your approach. So you didn't go kind of the traditional route, which is, hey, I'm going to roast coffee, I'm going to go 100% wholesale, right? No retail, just wholesale, focus on those things. You've done a mix of different things and you've tried a bunch of different things. So let me make sure I have all of these right. So you have basically run a cafe that is a Domestique exclusive within Saturn over in Avondale, yeah. Correct?
So that's ours. We sublease the space. It's our employees.
And it's nested within that space, right. Which is great, super efficient, right? You don't need a ton of floor space. Obviously, you have the roasting operation in Lakeview. You also are now running basically a pop-up through a Rev Birmingham program. And that's in what corner is that on again?
That is 2nd Avenue North and 19th Street.
Okay, I thought it was 19th. So 2nd and 19th, and basically they took the, you know, the smaller version of these, you know, shipping containers, and they've retrofit them. And you have, I want to say, what, 8, 9 different coffees on tap, yeah, that people can try?
Exactly, 8 different coffee and tea varieties, as well as serving some local donuts. And we kind of came up with a pretty innovative product called a cold brew Americano, where you're starting with our cold brew concentrate and then diluting that with hot water, which I think we're one of the only people in the country doing that right now.
And you've also done some other things, what I thought, where you're kind of, I don't want to say you're paying it forward, but you're kind of drinking your own Kool-Aid, which is you host dinners, right, with kind of, you know, local or up and coming or kind of you know, chefs and you know, kind of food artists, for lack of a better term, doing some really innovative things and talking about, to your point, more of that extension of, like, the craft of it and, mm-hmm. and the kind of the art of what we're doing. It's not just about consuming food. It's about how, you know, it was prepared, how we decided to do what we did and how we did it. You're doing that. You have, you partner with, other local companies to provide, you know, again, in the pop-up, that you have, you know, fresh foods that are coming from people that are prepared and you've had and forged those partnerships. And I think really ingratiated yourself in a way that I think we'd like to see every kind of local startup, homegrown business do that. Why is it, but that's kind of unique. I mean, not everybody does that. Why is it that people aren't doing more of that? It's, I know it's hard, but why don't more people do that? You guys have been really intentional about that. Why don't more people do that?
Well, I have to say that, you know, we, my brother and I, who's my brother Michael, who's a co-founder in this business with me, you know, we're from Birmingham. So we have a great affinity for this city, coming down here since we were little kids, and to see it having been nothing then, a wasteland, you know. I mean, that from our point of view as kids, right? I can't speak to the...
Yeah, it was pretty hard to get excited about Birmingham and, you know, in the 80s if you're a kid, or 90s if you're a kid.
And also growing up being BMX riders, where you're a participant in this sport where you have a bike, which there are no rules. You create your own fun. You build it. You build dirt jumps in the woods. You go find a street spot and you ride it, and you kind of create your own lines being an artist. And when you look at life that way and you kind of build these... I kind of like this, look at like project-based learning as how we're doing our entrepreneurship, laying the groundwork for something bigger in the future, because we are learning how to run a business, learning what we want our business to be. And so as we start doing these beta tests, essentially, not trying to create a million widgets at once, because my personal philosophy is I don't want to live in a world where you're creating a million widgets. You know, I like, consumption cannot be infinite in my mind, so... Building these limited experiences and different concepts, different expressions of the same idea that allow people to kind of hop around our different locations to consume with us in an intentional manner allows us to kind of explore, experiment, and still kind of have that creativity that we enjoy in life and makes running a business fun.
So you are very much ingrained in, I mean, you live in Birmingham, you work in Birmingham, you're building your business in Birmingham. Why is that important, and do you think that's a central part of whatever success you've had so far?
Yeah, I think we couldn't have been... Domestique wouldn't exist in any other city. I mean, we started this business with $0. I mean, working our other business. If I was to do it now, I wouldn't start it now. You're right. You look back...
Knowing what I know now. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, it took us a year and a half to get our roast facility open, learned how to be a contractor first. Pretty much started a construction company to build that out as we had time, and then you start running your business once you're open. But just the context that we have in Birmingham, just the knowledge we have of the city, being that my family's been here for a long time, it's just made things a bit easier, you know. And back when we started, when we signed the lease on our roast facility in 2015, you know, you could, like, that location, Lakeview, now we couldn't afford to be there. But when we signed the lease there, it was nothing there. You know, we would be there pretty much. There was no one on the street. Like, you weren't even moved into your office.
Right.
I mean, that didn't exist. So it was us and a paint supply store.
Yeah. I think you had a custodial services place too, right?
Yeah.
Like next door.
Al's still there. He's cool.
Yeah, he is. He is cool. So talking a little bit about... you know, next steps for you guys, like where do you see this going in the future? Like, what's next for Domestique as a brand, as an effort, as a company? I struggle to, you know, compartmentalize it too small, but what do you see as next for you guys?
Well, kind of our growth strategy is to form these unique brick and mortar experiences. We're about to launch our new cafe in Southside called Domestique Panache. It's a 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. location where we focus on coffee. We're also bringing in spirits and wines that both fit the ethos of our business, you know, things that speak to place. We're always going to keep speaking to place because that's what food is. It's what makes us human. And then we're starting to do small plates as well, you know. It's really small format location. that same idea of keeping our overhead low, keeping our labor costs low, but providing a really high-end experience for our customers. And then from there, it's going to be trying to grow outward, because we are a very small team with, limited capital. So for us to go try to launch into other markets as a domestique-specific location, like, that's just not feasible right now. But that's why we've kind of taken this multiple sales channel model, where we have both wholesale partners beyond our core location, using a grocery store partner plus a cafe partner in new markets to introduce us there, plus our social media, for then, as our brick and mortars become more successful in Birmingham, to kind of then kind of piggyback on those successes and the outlying markets.
So just in case there are people listening to this and go, I don't think I've ever had, I've never been to the cafe over at Saturn, or, obviously the new place isn't open yet, or I haven't made it to the pop-up. I think they'd be surprised to realize that if they've been in a lot of restaurants around town, or at least a number of restaurants around town, that they have actually had Domestique. So in fairness to your partners, and some of those were early customers, where are people consuming Domestique that maybe they don't even know?
Yeah, I mean, Hero Donuts, they've been a partner of ours for a long time, and we hope to continue to grow with them as they expand into Atlanta and other markets. We have Cafe DuPont downtown, really high-end experience. That's one reason why we've been doing these dinners, is for us, we've been trying to change the narrative of what coffee is. It shouldn't be your beverage menu and your coffee menu program shouldn't be an afterthought as a chef. You should be considering all of these components that you put on your menu. And with us being in Cafe DuPont, with Chef DuPont going that direction, it really validates, the intention that we're doing and the intention that what they're doing for their menu. So Cafe DuPont's a very wonderful partner.
Yeah, and that one makes a ton of sense, because for those who may be listening to this that aren't from Birmingham or have never been to Cafe DuPont, I mean, one thing that you need to know is every single ingredient that goes on that menu is very carefully selected and considered. People talk about seasonal menus. I think Cafe DuPont may have like weekly seasonal menus. It's really like what is at its peak best, or it just doesn't go. I mean, it doesn't go into a sauce. It doesn't go on the side of the plate. It doesn't, I mean, forget about the proteins. I mean, it's everything.
Right.
So knowing that they're taking it that intentionally, I think speaks very, very highly of the coffee. So they can get it at those places. They probably had it at those places. They can still get it at the corner of 19th and 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You mentioned Zaza earlier.
Zaza,
El Barrio.
Yep, El Barrio, good.
And those people, El Barrio in particular, they're also adopting our ready-to-drink products. So giving, your nighttime customers something that's craft on draft, especially in the summertime, is very appealing for people who are starting to move away from drinking alcohol. Having these other craft drinks available that are on tap, it's really nice.
And if people want this to consume at home, where do they get it?
Right now, our online sales, you can go on our website, domesticcoffee.com. You can sign up for a membership. We have recurring membership plans. We also have a single order options on our website.
That's great. Nathan, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.